We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rebe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Larson comes to meet the play, finds Skinner from the dot with a shot, rebound, he bounces it out of the air. Anderson, it's behind him, comes out to him, and they score! Montour jumps on the loose puck, and Olsen picks up the loose chain. Back to the line, Ristolainen with a shot, scores! Montour off the pass from Ristolainen, has his second of the period. 2-0, Montour. Nemestikov's going to get to the net with a shot stopped by Carter. No, got through him. Nick Paul plays it around to the far side, scores! His game is tied. They've got another one. Drake Patterson drives the net, gets the rebound, and it's 3-2 Ottawa. His 4-on-2 developing here for Ottawa, scores! And Isimov, his second of the game. It's 4-2 Ottawa. In across the line, Larson holds it, gets it to the front of the net, Kanapolzo scores! But now Duclair down the left side, sends it to the net, bouncing puck, it's in the net! Pajot is there! Back up top, Dahlin, here comes Olofsson's one-timer, scores! Victor Olofsson with another rocket to get the Sabres back within one, and yet another power play goal for the rookie. Batherson down the right side. Right in front, scores! Pajot! Now Duclair down the ice. He's got an empty net. Senators are shorthanded, and they get another one. Two shorthanded goals on the night. And that one will seal the deal.
Well, after games like last night, what do? We bring in the always cheerful Brian Gionta.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, Glad you came in.
We
today.
Need you here today, buddy.
Yeah, we sure do.
We need your positive vibe, your atmosphere. You know, just rub me.
Yeah. Well, we're matching shirts almost to the
turtleneck guy. I did notice. I didn't notice, but I do now. A lot of plaid going on over there.
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys gonna be throwing axes?
You should get on the train here.
Never really been much of a plaid guy, to be honest with you. I don't know. I let everybody else kind of take that away. What's that?
I've noticed
a lot of plaid the last couple of years. Well, you know, turtlenecks are coming back. This is actually the second time I've ever worn it. Twice on the show, actually.
Is that from the Thomas Plekanec collection?
Yes. Actually, he has his own clothing line now. And, yeah, it's called TP, not toilet paper. It's Thomas Plekanec Turtleneck Day. That's great. Nice, Thomas. Nice pull.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
I always wanted to wear a turtleneck under my gear like Mario and Wayne. I always thought it looked so good.
You would have had to
now
answer.
I do
you
in the charity games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love your look in charity games.
What'd you say? I would have had to what?
You would have had to answer a lot of stuff.
But I was willing to answer. I mean,
yeah, yeah. No, I
always had
I'm
to
saying.
Answer to the toughest guy on the other team anyway, so I figure you can go out and kind of do and say whatever you want.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
So thanks for coming in today. 7-4 loss last night. Tough one, up 2-0. Got to get that out of the way. We have actually a couple tweets, Riv, a couple requests. Instigators, if you want to tweet the boys, at GeoStyle21, at CraigRivet52. I'm going to bow out of this one. Steve tweets, he says, I'm here for Craig today. Want to hear him say brutal at least 4 times. Logo says, what if we actually got the correct call last night up 2-0 with the penalty shot awarded to 90? He scores, we go up 3-0. We're talking different story today. Maybe. But, and then Brian Gionta, that's why you were asking me for my Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have Instagram. Anyway, fellas, I don't know where to start, other than Montour had a couple to get the boys on the board early, and then all of a sudden, the wheels on the bus came falling off.
It turned real quick. I mean, I was at Harbor Center. Four goals.
What is it? 3 minutes and 3 minutes 28 seconds or something like that. 3 minutes and 38 seconds. Three goals.
And we were talking earlier about how big these games are with what is happening around the league. You watch what happened last night.
Montreal, that win, Toronto. That's that not win the night could have been a, lose.
Yep, that win could have been huge, huge win, especially with games at hand.
They're 8 points back. Toronto, Montreal playing last night. If they would have won last night, they would have been 6 points behind Toronto with a game in hand. If you want to put yourself back in the playoff race, then that was the game last night that they needed. It was by far, and I mean by far, the biggest game of the entire year. All the crap that we've seen up to that point could have really been eased with a really big victory in Ottawa. It could have put this team right back in the playoff race with a legit opportunity to make the playoffs. And you know what? The game started fantastic. You know, Brendan, you mentioned Brendan Montour. He's been paired with Risto. I think they've done a really nice job with Montour playing on the left-hand side. He has a couple goals. And here's the thing. This is what we all want to see out of Montour. We don't want to see what we saw in the last 12 games where he had one assist. We want to see the Montour that is an incredible skater who's got the offensive jump, who wants to get up in the play and be that guy to use his wheels and make things happen offensively. And you know what? He had a really nice game last night. And he's getting opportunity, and we need this out of Brendan Montour. This is what we need out of him from the back end. And it was a fantastic game.
I know
for the first part of the game. And then things fell apart. Seven goals.
Yeah, and I know TSN.
Seven goals against Ottawa Senators.
TSN had a camera on Jason Botterill, and you could see his emotion. And you could see he was holding back. And I just kind of wish that he would have lost it. But I wish, you know what I wish? I wish some of these players share the same emotion that he does. But I gotta just say this, and I hate to do this. I hate to say this. I don't want to say this, but I'll say it as nicely as I possibly can. Because I never, ever, ever, when I coached, when I played, I never ever pointed the finger at any one player. Ever. But Carter Hutton had a tough night last night. And that's all I'll say about that.
Yep.
And there you have it. I mean, it's not all on the goalie. Some of the chances were prime time, power play, shorthanded.
Yep.
But, you know, couple saves there, and we're talking a different game. Now you look at the penalty shot opportunity, the hook. Why are we not getting a penalty shot here? You know, if Evander Kane can go out and criticize the Department of Player Safety for penalties and player safety, I think the officiating needs to be recognized as inconsistent as well.
Well, the only thing that I can say in that is the hook happened at the top of the circle. So there was not a scoring chance right away. Meaning, If he would have been 3 feet from the net and this hook would have happened, it would have been a penalty shot.
Well, no, he's at the top. No, I disagree 100%.
Thank you. Go for it. Okay.
Because this happened. It happened when I was in Montreal. It was overtime. I stole the puck at the blue line and I got tripped at the our defending blue line. So you're 150 feet away from the net, and I got awarded a penalty shot off of it. You know what I mean? Wow. So it's a scoring chance. You're going in alone. I don't care if that's at the top of the circles or if that's a foot and a half from the net. That's a penalty shot because he's in the clear. Okay. He's passed him, and now the hook happens.
I'm only trying to play devil's advocate, and I'm trying to figure out why this is not called. Number one, you just, you know, crushed my thought of it was too far away from the net. Number two, did he have control of the puck?
Absolutely.
And if you watch right now, we're going to show it again. Johansson does not have control of the puck.
He pushes the puck ahead.
He gets around it.
That's still control of the puck, in my opinion, because if he doesn't get hooked down, he reaches for that puck, he pulls it back, maybe he snaps it, maybe he goes backhand. I don't know what he's going to do.
That's penalty shot awarded.
That's penalty shot all day.
And I agree with your point as far as the refs. And I love the refs. I had great relationships with the refs throughout the years. It's not an easy job. What they do is not easy to make that split second decision, stuff like that.
Okay,
but Claude Julien comes out and criticizes the refs in their game, and he's fined for it. You know what I mean? Why are players, and I guess being a player, you're a little more sensitive to it, but why are we able to be criticized nonstop? And someone who has an impact in the game, they can't be criticized. Why is there that standard across the league? Why does the league control what is said? And if it's done in a tactful way, like if you go out and you attack the refs and you say it in a manner that is really bad, okay. But why can we not say, hey, they weren't good. This call wasn't good. They messed this call up. They need to be better. Why can that not be said by the other side?
I think, and let's go a step further. We'll get back to the game. Sabres lost. It was the game that they needed to win with what was going on around them. And we'll get back into this. But I don't want to skip away from this too quickly. I honestly believe, and this is a whacked thought, okay? But I honestly believe, first of all, let me just for clarity, the officials are employed by the NHL. Okay? Right? Correct? Strike one. Number, so they should be like their own separate little entity. Wait. Hold on. And also be interviewed after games. I'm dead serious. I want to hear from the officials. I want to hear what they were thinking, why, when there was no penalty shot. I don't want to get too far down on this, but I want to hear officials be interviewed after the game and explain what they were seeing.
Was there a penalty call on that play, on the Johansson play? Yes, there was. Let me ask you something. Did you go and see and watch the McCabe penalty?
Nope.
Did you watch the McCabe penalty?
I'm sure I saw it. What was it? I saw the Skinner one.
Listen,
that was a.
We will find the footage, and I want you guys to watch the McCabe hooking call.
Was it not a penalty?
And if we have that in the back, so this is a hooking call. McCabe's on the top left-hand side. This is the hooking call.
That's a hook?
We're going to watch it again.
He pushes him.
We're going to watch it again. He got called hooking there. He got called for hooking on that play.
So for the people in the car listening or who are listening on the radio,
we will tweet this. We will retweet
Jake
this out.
More or less leaned on him
with
his stick almost like in a cross-check form, but not cross-checking. There was no hook.
No, there was no hook. It was more of a push from behind than even a cross-check.
What period was that?
The second period.
And I'm okay. I don't even think that should be a penalty, let alone a hooking penalty.
Like there is literally no penalty. It is mind-boggling that a ref that's standing 10 feet away in the corner is making that call that's a penalty on Jake McCabe.
Yeah.
So
this player does not receive the puck. Look at where the ref is. His eyes are not even on Jake McCabe and that guy. He's watching the guy making the pass. And he assumed that when the guy who is receiving the puck
missed it,
and and this guy made a call saying that Jake McCabe made a hooking penalty.
So it sounds like a guess.
It was absolutely a guess.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, that is more egregious than the Johansson not getting a penalty shot. He got a penalty. That ref made a decision, and you know what? Let's just all live with that, because this is an absolute joke. That is what I want to be asking the ref about and the league. Because listen, I mean, that can't happen. That can't happen in this league.
So, Botts was visibly mad last night. If you saw on social media, you caught the TSN feed. What's he more, I guess, frustrated with? Is it the lack of talent, or maybe just the lack of push, or the goals that were scored against, or
the biggest
officiating?
Goal, it was the biggest game
of
the year.
Or is it a collective, is it kind of a group of all of it?
It's the biggest game of the year. Playing against one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League. An opportunity to take advantage of 2 points and really put this team in a very interesting situation to move toward a playoff berth and completely drop the ball. Up 2-0 and then had what? Four goals, uncontested goals, three of them that were scored in 3 minutes and 35 seconds.
So I hate,
it's not acceptable.
I hate to ask the question, but with all the trade talk and moves and everything, do you think that a goaltender might be on his list of things that he might, a box that he might want to recheck off? Because I look, I mean, like Carter Hutton has, he's been struggling. He had a great game a couple games ago. And I'm just, you know, like you wonder if maybe that's something that he'd be on the look for, or is that, or do you wait for Allmark to come back and see what he can do?
Who's the number one?
I don't think we know.
I mean, I think Allmark.
You have no idea who our number one is?
Of course it's Allmark, but are you asking me, is he our number one or is he a number one right now? I don't know if he's a number one in this league, if, on every single team or on this team. That's so clarify your question a little
on,
bit.
On my, on this team, he's the number one goaltender. It's clearly. Well, guess what? He's out. So now we have our backup playing. And he's played some good games, and he's played some games that he would like to have back. Hutton, when we got him, we wanted him for this situation. We wanted him to come in his first year and kind of solidify our goaltending. We needed to allow our young goaltender in Linus Allmark to kind of grow into a position. Well, you started to see that growth. Linus Allmark is growing into being a number one goaltender in the league. And what do we want? We want Hutton to be that guy that's going to back him up. That's basically what we've wanted when we signed Hutton. We're starting to see it because we're seeing a number one goaltender start to flourish. And Hutton right now is a backup goaltender. So do we need another goaltender? No, because we have a number one and we have a very capable backup. We do have a capable backup. As much as Hutton is maybe not at the top of his game right now, he's still a very good goaltender, and there's no need to get rid of him and then bring in someone else who's basically just like him.
I agree on that point. But I going back to your point, Petey, of Botts and where he's mad, and Rivs, I agree, last night, huge game, maybe one of the biggest games of the year, but you could be saying that about all these games in February so far.
We have said that about every game in the last 4 games.
So going back 2-3 weeks, you got, you know, a Columbus OT. Okay, fine. You know, you get a point out of that. But you lose to Detroit. You say that's a huge loss. You lose to Anaheim, who is almost dead last in the West. These are points that are accumulating over the course of the year that make the Ottawa game last night so much more important. If you get those two games alone and you get that Ottawa, You're pretty much...
You're like one or two points
out of a playoff spot. And that's just looking back 2-3 weeks. Now you go back the rest of the year, I think the frustration is just building. I think that's missed opportunities, opportunities that should be had. Games
why is
that,
it missed? Why are we at this point,
inconsistency.
Though? Inconsistency. The lineup, you know, arguably is just not good enough. It does not have enough top-end skill. You know, our role players are basically role players.
I think it's inconsistency in the bunch. You got some. You got
where
some
do
talent
you find
there.
Where do you find consistency though? Like why?
I don't know.
Why at game 60? What are
Rotem
we at?
Star we're Victor Olofsson's been pretty nice.
Why are we still talking about consistency? I mean, consistency at this point in time is you just have the wrong players.
I would like to know inside Jason Botchell's head how many players he thinks he needs for next year, like in terms of out and in. I mean, like eventually there are certain players that are going to go that have just been here too long, whether it's contract or whatever, or just time for change of scenery. But I mean, like in all honesty, like how many players do you think five up front? Five? I mean, I could start from Larson line on up. Okay, so Oposo, he's not going anywhere. Larson, I don't know. I really liked Larson's game.
I like that whole line.
Did you see that pass he made last night? Did you see that pass he made to Oposo driving?
So let's discuss this. You say Larson. I think he's played absolutely fantastic. What are you going to have to pay him?
I don't know. That's not my job.
Gergensen, so you're going to have to pay him. If you're going to have to pay him to be that fourth line guy, then you're kind of taking money away from being paying the top guys.
But if you're going back to we're on performance more so than anything right now, right?
Yeah.
Are we not? Like, who, and that line to me has done exactly what they need. You can say Okposo, his contract, he's not living up to his contract, but he is really good.
He plays hard.
He plays the right way. And this line is doing exactly what they need to do.
Scored a great goal the other day against the Leafs. Scored a gorgeous goal yesterday, driving hard to the net. Sorry, go ahead.
No, take his contract out of it, and everybody loves what he brings to the team.
So let's erase that out of it.
And it's hard to do because it's taking money away from other things. But that line is doing exactly what you want them to do. So I don't think this is a matter of, in years past, it's been a lack of skill. It's been a lack of maybe competency in some of the players. To me, it's inconsistency, and it's one night it's there, one night it's not there. I don't know why that is. We're not in that room, so it's hard to tell. But
well, you have for instance, you have Rodriguez, Sheary, VC, Gergensen's,
Frolik.
He wasn't even in the lineup last night. There's four. There's four right now that, I mean, are interchangeable and maybe even cheaper. You might be able to get performance from four other players that will be less expensive than all of those guys combined. I don't know what's out there, but I'm sure you might be able to. Like, Gergensen's has been here too long. He's been in a losing team for so long. Like, it might be time for him to go. Like, VC, I don't know if it's working out. Sheary, you know, not scoring the way I think we wanted him to when we brought him in here. And Erod, I'm not paying him $2 million to come back next year to do what he does. And that might not be fair, but, I mean, it might make your team better if you're interchanging those four players. But, I mean, again, I don't know where you go. I don't know where you
every
go.
Team,
that's why I say
every
I,
team
I'd love
in
to,
the league.
I'd love to know what's going on in Jason Botchell's head with how many players he thinks he might need to start new with next year. Now, granted, you don't have a Tage Thompson, but the deadline's coming up. So
every team in the league, Petey, that's having any sort of success whatsoever has two top lines. There is not a team in the National Hockey League that's in the playoffs right now without two top lines. We have one. And we have Jeff Skinner that's basically been floating all year. Jeff Skinner is not a drive-your-line guy. He is a guy that if you can put a skilled player that's going to set him up, he has proven over 10-plus years of his NHL career that he can score 25 to 35 goals in this league. We saw what happened with him last year. Played with Jack Eichel. The best player that Jeff Skinner's ever played with his entire life, and he scored 40. Jeff Skinner has not played with Jack once this year in a game.
Okay.
Jeff Skinner needs to be with players that can make him better. And right now, we don't have those two
guys.
What's
better for this?
We do not have a second-line center, and we do not have a second-line right winger.
So what would be better for this team right now? Would it be Skinner playing up with Jack and earning his $9 million? Or, statistically, right? Or on the second line with a question mark center for the future with an Olofsson absolutely killing it on that top line, so that when you do make a move that brings in hopefully a second line center to throw with Skinner. So I guess I'm just wondering, like, what would Olofsson be doing if he were playing with Erod and Sheary? Would he have scored last night? He wouldn't have been in the power play. Might not have been anyway. Probably would have been, actually. But I mean, is he scoring? Probably not. Until you get that player. But I mean, for me, I'll let Jeff Skinner sit and not score on the second line and let Olofsson score, because I know eventually when I, like, look at these.
Where did Jeff Skinner play in the power play last year? Did he play in the first, second, or not at all?
Look at these trades that are going on right now around the league and how long they take. There's got to be talks. There's got to be talks of a top line centerman.
100% there's talks. There are talks. The thing with your argument is let him play there and let him bide his time until you get the right player to play with him, is now you're crushing his confidence. You're crushing his support. You know, everybody's all over him right now for not scoring goals and not living up to the contract. That is going to weigh on a player. We've all been there.
How's he not playing on the top power play? How do we have Rasmus Ristolainen standing in front of the net on the power play? We paid this guy $9 million. We paid him $9 million.
Good there.
He's been pretty.
Oh, come on!
What? You know what? Last year,
I don't understand.
Hey,
what do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean? Last year, the power play was
one of the top in the league. It has to be a forward. It has to be by rule.
Hey,
I played. So listen, I might not have played.
Wait, are you going to say you played power play time?
When I played on the power play, ever in the NHL or in the American League and in junior, I was in front of the net. It's a dummy spot.
Like
it's
not a dummy spot.
Anybody can play in front of the net on the power play.
So what you're saying is Sam Reinhardt is a dummy because that's where he's played.
He has a skill to deflect pucks. What I'm saying is that it's not the hardest.
So he's just there to deflect pucks.
It's not the hardest spot on the power play to play. I mean, you can literally put Ristolainen in there, and he has a lot of skill. Ristolainen has a lot of skill.
It's a dummy spot.
It's a term, Riv. I'm not calling the players
dummies.
That's
exactly what you just said. It's a dummy spot.
You would rest on that.
I just
for argument's sake.
You have a player that scored 40 goals last year playing on the top line. The top unit. He signed a contract for what? $72 million, $9 million a year. You take him. And you take him away from the guy that helped him get that in Jack Eichel. And I'm sure Jeff Skinner's saying, listen, I'm going to do what is best. You know, I'll play on that second line because I want to win. Okay? But then all of a sudden, you're going to tell me that you're going to take Jeff Skinner off the number one power play? This guy got paid $9 million because he is a goal scorer.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying I don't want to sit here and hear that Risto in front of the net isn't good.
Yeah.
That's all I want. That's all I like. I'll sit here and tell you
Jeff
all
Skinner
day
last year played on a power play
no
that was one of the top
argument,
in the league.
But you can't tell me that Ristolainen in front of the net isn't good. He's actually
amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Order the rings, man. Order the rings because Risto's sitting in the dummy position in front of the net. Order the rings. We got a $9 million player that should be on the power play, and he's not. And you're asking, why is he not scoring goals? What's wrong with Skinner? Those players, Gio, you would know better than anybody because I'm not a goal scorer, and Petey wasn't a goal scorer, and you were a goal scorer. You understand how important it is to have confidence. Confidence for a goal scorer in particular in this league. You talk about streaky goal scoring, and I hear this crap that, once he scores his first, he's going to get like 10 more. Bull. You got to be put in the opportunity to score goals. That's how you score goals as a goal scorer. If you don't have opportunity, you will not score goals.
I went 77 games in this league without a goal. Where do you think my
I went 104. So
yeah, but you're a defenseman. You'll argue that too now. But then I'll say you got more ice time.
But it does. It weighs on you. Confidence is a huge thing as a goal scorer. But it's different for every player, right? Like Jack, he's a guy that can carry a line. Skinner's someone who needs to play with someone who's going to set him up.
Yep.
They're different types of players. But the mental side of the game is huge, huge. Feeling good about yourself. You get on this slump. Even if you score here, you're still thinking, oh, man. All right. Now I got to get going. I got to catch up pace. I got to really make up for it here. It weighs on you day in and day out as a goal scorer because it's not easy with the pressure. And I'm not saying we're not well compensated for it. I'm just saying the reality of it is there's a ton of pressure when you are put in that position. You're paid that much. You're expected to do a certain amount. And if you're not in your mind doing it, it weighs on you.
So here's the thing. Last night when I was watching the game, and I've watched Jeff Skinner, it's been 21 game now that he hasn't scored a goal? 21 games for a guy that we're paying $9 million. He hasn't scored a goal. We're not going to give him opportunity to break out of that, to play on a... Listen, the team's already losing. We're already near the bottom. Jeff Skinner is a major part of this team moving forward. We signed this guy
my question is,
to score goals.
Listen, I understand. I'm reading Jeremy's tweet here about no OT, 6-on-4, all this stuff. My question is this. I get all that. And I agree with what you're saying, and I understand your points. I always try to find the reasons behind why. Like, so I just try to like think about it out loud, and maybe that's the reason. But all I can tell you, and the only thing it spells to me is that is your line of the future, the top line. And Jeff Skinner is going to be your, I know we don't number lines around here, but if Jack Eichel is a centerman, he's your number one center. And if Jeff Skinner's not on that line, he is your number two left winger. You don't have a number two centerman. Maybe it's just, I'm not going to take Olofsson off to put Skinner there to let Olofsson go cold.
No, but that's the balancing act. We've seen it.
It is a balancing act.
Every team we've been on, you see it. I've been on lines that have been hot, like lights out hot. And the coach comes and says, listen, we got to make a change because X player isn't going. We got to try to get him going.
Yeah, I'll give you a great example.
You leave him with the two, and now, hey, you got to do that. So I think there's got to be some flip-flopping. Maybe try to get Skinner going.
And then if
Olsen's getting hot or getting cold,
you
make a change.
I have a thought.
Okay, save it because we got to go to break. No, we got to go to break. Don't do this. We did this yesterday, and I'm telling
you. Love this.
It worked.
So what are we talking about? What are you trying to say?
No. I'm saying that at some point you got to try and get Skinner going here. You got to get him moving.
And even
regardless of how good that line is.
Even though the top line is playing very well,
yes,
you have to try and get a guy going. All right. We'll talk about that after the break.
Nice.
I have a thought right now.
Write it down. I want
to
watch it.
I don't need to write it down. I have it right here in the old cranium.
Well, I have one more thing I
want
to say.
I have
one more thing. You guys tell me if this sounds right. Anytime, and it wasn't often, but there were times we were blowing teams out where Lindy would be like, okay, go. Or Jacques. Yeah. Jacques was good like that. And he'd throw you in the power play. What do you think my role was in the power play? Stretch guy at the blue line.
The guy that never touches the puck.
Stretch guy. Classic decoy, okay? Like the gold watch in the movie Speed, okay? Blue line across. I swing across. Got to time it perfectly, okay? Maybe it's a rim around to my side that I let go to the D that's trailing, right? And then I go right to the front of the net.
Or you pump it back in the corner and go
and
right
then
to
if it goes low,
net.
I bump out. If it goes high, I go low.
You have the puck on that power play for about 0.5 seconds.
Oh, 5.
Could 0.5, like 0.5 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's way more accurate.
It's like just pushing it on somewhere.
Yes, and that's not a one-timer. All right, we got to go to break. Craig's thought when we return. Craig's thoughts. I like that. I like that for a segment. We do have a segment. It's 2 hours every day. Craig's thoughts. He's Instigators. Geo's in. Sabres lost. Huge game last night. I mean, that's where the emphasis is. Leafs lose. Canadians lose. Riv's thought coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, welcome back. You have your thought ready? Instigators. Brian Giontas here at GeoStyle 27. Just joking, 21. I'm joined with a couple captains today. We're getting heated on Skinner. And,
Geo made
going, and Geo made a point.
Geo made a good point. that there are teams out there that that have a top line, but they need to get a player going in particular. So they changed that top lineup, and they put that lineup to hopefully gain that other player can gain confidence. And it happened to us last year because our top line, one of the top lines in the National Hockey League, there was three of them. Boston Bruins had Todd Marchand, Brad Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak. In Colorado, they had Rantanen, MacKinnon, and Langeskog. In Buffalo, we had Jeff Skinner, Jack Eichel, and
Samson.
Jason Pominville.
J. Crew line.
That line was our best line. That line was one of the top lines in the National Hockey League. What happened to Jason Pominville the second part of the year?
He got moved.
He got, why? Is it one of the best lines in the league, Petey?
We had to get Sam going.
Oh, we had to get Sam going. That's right. So they moved him up, and Sam ended with, 23, 4 goals, and he ends up with 65 points. Great for you, Sam. But what'd they do?
Now.
They moved lines around.
Oh, that's right.
Sure,
they made the playoffs, too. What? Oh, they did.
How'd they do in the playoffs?
Same as Tampa Bay.
There you go.
I didn't win any games.
Yeah.
You get record setters,
saying.
By the way.
You get what sure. I'm saying. You're in a situation where, you know, you have a player that you just signed a long-term deal with, a tremendous amount of money with, and he's not even on your first power play. And he was on your first power play last year.
Then
he did have the opportunity to play with Jack Eichel. They're obviously very clear in the sense that they want Jeff Skinner to try and drive a line on his own. Well, who's he driving the line with? One night it's Jeff. One night it's Frolik. The next night it's Sobotka. The next night it's Jimmy Vesey. Then it's Rodriguez. And it just continues the rolling door because we do not have.
Do you think
we do not have two players that should be playing with Jeff Skinner?
Do you think? Okay.
And
so
we,
do you
those
think Skinner,
are.
Do you think
those
Skinner's
are glaring spots that we need?
I know.
We need
I
a
know
second line left. We need a second line center, and we need a second line right winger. We do not have them right now.
Do you think Skinner's? I know Skinner's probably frustrated with the goal output, but do you think he's frustrated with the fact that he hasn't been put there?
100%.
100%.
So what's the message? I mean, what is a coach or a general manager telling Jeff Skinner why? Because I don't have the reason why. I would always look. My name would either be fourth line left wing or fifth line left wing. So where I played was clear. Where other guys played was clear. Where, you know, sometimes maybe a guy might be promoted because he's been playing so well, and you're like, oh, wow, good for him. But this is obviously something that is a conversation that not just people outside of the team are having. So what do the conversations sound like inside? I've never been in those meetings. I've never had, like, Gio, maybe you have.
I mean, no, not in the sense that I haven't been in those meetings, but a few things happen, right? If a player's not going, one of the strategies would be, hey, be hard on him, tell him he's got to be better, demote him with his playing time, demote him with his power play time, and hope that he gets motivated and pushes a little harder. Excuse me. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes it's the reverse. We got to give him every opportunity in the world to get himself back to it because being hard on him didn't work. So now what do we have to do? We have to build him up, right? And so I think you, excuse me, go through those different scenarios throughout the course of the year, and then it happens where either one of those works, one of them doesn't, go with what sticks, try to get him confidence. But for the sake of the team, you need the majority of your players going. And that's not one line. That's not two lines. That's throughout the
four-line combination.
Okay,
so let me ask you this.
Combination.
I'm not in the locker room, and I will never assume anything, but we've seen a lot, okay, the three of us. If a player's, and I don't know, but if a player's moping, are you going to reward him because he's not scoring? Hypothetically speaking, I know that I played with players that were moping and coaches didn't cater to that.
Absolutely. But have you not played with players that have moped and they've gotten taken care of and you get even more mad about it?
Well, of course.
Well, so it happens both ways. So these things happen, good teams, bad teams, average teams. This is a constant struggle with every team. I think if you look at up and down the 31 teams, every team has gone through it. Boston went through it last year where they broke up their top line for a bit because one of their other guys wasn't going and they had to even it out a bit. And then they eventually went back to it. So it happens no matter if you're a top team in the league or you're a bottom team in the league. And that's part of the thing that coaches have to deal with the most is trying to get the most out of your whole lineup, not just two, three, four guys. And that's one of the hardest jobs, I would think, is to manage these guys. Strategic, you have a game plan, you play systems. Most teams have the same thing. Most teams play the same way. It's how you manage these little things throughout the year to keep guys engaged, to keep them motivated, to keep them on your side. And that's when we talk about coaches losing guys is they haven't handled situations like this well. Not saying Kruger has. He's at that point. What I'm saying is that this happens on every team, and this is a balancing act that coaches have to go through in this league, is trying to keep everybody going and trying to keep your top guys happy, trying to keep your middle guys happy, trying to keep your lower-end guys happy.
Well, I think the awareness came to it when Olofsson got hurt. You know, Olofsson goes down, and you don't really ever see Jeff Skinner playing with Jack and Sam because you know they're never going to split up Jack and Sam. That's clear, right? And why would you? Because everybody you put with them excels.
Yeah.
But I think that's when it became a little more glaring when you were seeing Gergensons, you were seeing VC, you were seeing literally everybody on that top line. So Jim has we have to go to break, but Jim has a tweet here. He says they've lost three games to Ottawa. That's 6 points and they're 8 points back with the game in hand. I mean, it just goes to show you when you scale the season down to just a couple wins and losses, how close.
And you do that too.
Well, it's natural, isn't it? Isn't that human nature to go back and say woulda, shoulda, coulda? Well, I mean, you're not supposed to, right?
Well, no, but we're trained
to not live in the past, but in this business, we can live in the past as much as we want. So yeah, there you go. Well, no, he's got a point though. I mean, and games like last night, games like Detroit, games. I mean, it really does set your team back. A couple points here or there.
Part of his point is look at how tight this league is and how quickly things can change. You're down on a team and you say they have no chance. They're not that far off of being that playoff team.
You were in here what?
They're not that far off.
Last Monday you were in here?
Yeah.
And they were 12 points out or something like that. And everybody was like, they're done. And now last night, like, if they win.
Yep.
Game in hand, and if the Leafs lose, and so everything that happened that was supposed to around them or that they needed to, the scoreboard watching wise, happened, and then they just didn't cash in on their end of the bargain.
I look at this and I think to myself, in the Atlantic, there is a race right now between the Maple Leafs, the Panthers, the Sabres, and you could throw the Canadiens in there. There is a race. And if you don't think that it's live, because Toronto Maple Leafs have played the worst hockey they've played in the last 5 years right now. And I don't see any clear sign that they can just pop out of this. And the Panthers are in the same boat. They're not playing their best hockey right now. Either is the Sabres. But one of these teams, if they can catch a little bit of fire and these last remaining 22 games, there's going to be an organization that's pretty happy that they put 22 games together and they made the playoffs. I think it is there. I think it's very reasonable. You know, we're 8 points out, but I do believe that this team has a shot to make the playoffs. And I'm going to tell you right now, one week and a half ago, I said there's not a chance at all that this team has a chance to make the playoffs. I do believe because the teams that are in front of the Sabres right now are not playing well. And that's a good sign for the Sabres. Put some games together, win some games, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to creep up And the guys that are ahead of you, you know how that is.
The problem.
That pressure starts to mount because you see those teams starting to catch you.
Well, when we come back, I'll tell you not what the problem is because I don't want to look at it through those glasses, but I'll tell you why it gets more difficult on the instigators right here. Hour number two coming up. We're going to go around the NHL. Lots of trades. No, I shouldn't say lots of trades, but trades.
It's starting.
Yeah, a couple minor league deals, another deal. We'll talk about the Scandella deal. We'll break that down. I've heard multiple different theories on that, thoughts and opinions. That's a popular discussion right now, so we'll talk about that at 11 o'clock. I thought Pat Malacaro had a great response to the Scandella trade last night. We'll tell you what that was. That's at 11 o'clock, but coming up next, I'll tell you what makes it difficult for the Sabres.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Before the break, we'll take some calls here. We got a couple calls on the line. We'll grab them 1 second. But just before the break, I said what makes it more difficult for the Sabres. I mean, I'm sure it was easy to figure out, but the schedule doesn't get easier. You go to Pittsburgh on Saturday. You got a nice little break here. Okay, you got today, tomorrow, Friday off, no game. You play back-to-back, 1 p.m., 3 p.m. in Pittsburgh. You play back at home against Winnipeg. Then you go to finish off the month. It actually rolls into March. Yeah, you're at Colorado, at Vegas, at Arizona, and then you are at Winnipeg. So, yeah, just it gets harder and harder. Games to win at this time of year. You're playing tough teams. Let's grab some calls on the line. I don't have the screener in front of me right now, JJ. I got a Jeff and Cheektowaga. Fire away. You're with Andrew, Craig, and Gio. Brian.
Hi, how you guys going today?
What kind of a question is that?
The question I have is I thought that, like you said, Hutton didn't have a good game yesterday. When it's 4-2 after the first period, why don't you pull him and put the backup in? Maybe try to save that game. He let in some bad goals. I think there could have been a shot of saving that after it was 4-2.
Well, three of those goals happened within 3 minutes and 38 seconds. So, you know what? As a coach, it's very difficult to pull a goaltender in that short amount of time. After the fourth goal, now you have a decision to make. Is it on the team or is it directly just on Carter Hutton?
I don't think it has to be on either one of them. I think you see coaches do it all the time. Maybe those goals aren't Hutton's fault in a different game. And you pull the goalie to try to get some momentum, to try to change things up, to try to send a message to your team. So I don't disagree with the fact that maybe a change was needed in between that period, in between intermission. Come out, try to spark something different. And not that you're putting it on Hutton, but you're sending a message saying, listen, that's not good enough. The last 5 minutes of hockey are not good enough. We need to be better. Everybody needs to be better.
It's interesting you say that, Gio, and I wonder if that mindset goes into it. If it's not the goalie's fault, do you yank him and blame that? It's easier to blame 20 players or 19 players, yeah. 18 players, than it is to blame, you know, one goalie. But maybe if it is because he's having a bad night, maybe you do leave him in and try to give him a chance to snap out of it before you completely shatter his confidence or hope that the team can go and dig you out of it with a couple. It's an interesting philosophy, and
I agreed with Petey that it wasn't his night. I thought he let in some soft goals, and I think that change after the first period to start the second may have been a difference.
It's interesting. Thanks for
the
call,
and
Jeff.
You can't argue with that. Thought.
Not at all. Not at all. Jeff, thanks for the call. Bob in Rome.
It just blows my mind. I could not understand when Jeff Skinner came back from being injured. All right, they played him with his regular line, and they brought up the power play. I said, oh, no problem. They are going to play Jeff Skinner on the power play because they don't have Olofsson. They didn't. It's like, what in the world? They tried VC for a while, and, of course, that didn't work out too great. But I don't know how much relationship there is with Jack and VC. In fact, I'm also curious as to the fact, why is Jeff Skinner down on the second line? How much control does Jack have in the say-so of this? Doesn't that make you wonder?
No, because I think Jack would want to play with Skinner.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything necessarily on that point as much as that top line is going. It's hard to change that up. But like we've said, at some point to try to boost Skinner, to try to get him going, to try to balance it a little more, I think you got to make a shuffle to try to help him get his confidence back.
You got two Norsemen there. Why not put Olofsson and Johansson together? Hey, you never know. It could be something there also. It might even be better for the team.
I try anything right now, Bob.
I mean, really, doesn't that make sense? Give him a try with Johansson. It might click better.
Thanks. Well, you know what? What's interesting is, you know, I think there's many, many, many people out there that are saying after 21 games now without a goal that they've waited too long. I mean, this should have happened after 10 games. You need a guy like Jeff Skinner, who is a very, and I say very, proven goal scorer for many years, many, many years in his career. We need to get him going. We brought him here. He re-signed. He bought into the Buffalo Sabres. We need to show him that we're buying into him. He's going through a tough patch. There's no question about it. Probably the toughest patch he's ever had in his NHL career. But we need to find a solution for Jeff Skinner. And that's obviously Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel is going to make everybody who plays with him better. We just need to give him, Jeff Skinner, that relief where he can score a couple goals, start to feel good about his game again, and then, you know, you can start switching things around again if you want.
Nope,
that's it.
Are you sure? I can give you another 10 seconds on the other side of the break.
No, I don't need it.
I want to grab Mike here because Mike has an interesting thought that I feel like we've discussed. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. If you want to break Skinner, why don't you put Reinhart down with him, try to see if you can get him going? Or
I think
carry your Vesey up with Eichel, try to get one of them two going.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Reinhart or Skinner necessarily carry the line. I think if you want to get Skinner going, I think, like Riv said, it's going to go through Jack. And then maybe you can make a shift like that. But I think in the immediate, I think you got to go with someone who's going to make everyone, and I'm not saying Reiner doesn't, around him better. Someone who controls the puck, controls the play, and can feed Skinner. You know what I mean? And who's that? That's Jack.
Okay,
as of right now.
I'll counter that argument when we return after the sports update. Gio, great to have you in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No, you get the room buzzing, man, every time you walk through the door. Brian Gionta in studio with us for the next hour. We're going to go around the NHL, talk about these trades for sure, but we'll talk about a little more about getting Jeff Skinner, the $9 million man, going offensively. See if we can get this team to the playoffs. Instigators, we'll be back after the sports update.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.